shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. His promise still stands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Come on, you ought to shout hallelujah this morning. Come on, hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is, I'm here to get my confidence back. I love that song. This is my confidence. Everybody say, I'm here to get my confidence back. Turn to five people around you this morning. Say, good morning, and I'm here to get my confidence back. Go ahead. Greet each other. Thank you, worship team. Awesome. This is my confidence. What a day. Here to get my confidence back. Paul's letter to the Philippians. We've been in it for 5 weeks now. Can you believe it? And what a great letter. It's written in imperfect circumstances. And we're learning from Paul in this letter to the Philippians that we can be okay when things aren't okay. We're learning that we can be happy in the midst of unhappy things. And that is a strength that is irreplaceable for you in your life. This letter speaks to us. And it speaks to us about unshakable confidence. It doesn't speak about a perfect life. It speaks about a confidence that is strong like a river, like a waterfall on the inside of us, that no matter what is going on, that God is with us and we can be confident in what he is doing. Paul had confidence not because of his perfect circumstances and not because of his perfect background and his perfect pedigree, but he had confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take your teaching outline. This is your guide, not only for this morning, but also as you go forward in your life groups this week or around your family kitchen table, whatever. Take some time to dig into the message and talk about the good things that God is speaking to us this morning. I want to read to you from the fourth chapter, as we come into this fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. These are words of unshakable confidence. He says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know that you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. where I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Then he says these famous words. Would you like to say them with me? Let's say it together. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Confidence. Confidence. If you've lost it, you can take it back. If it's evaporated, it can be restored into your heart. Have you ever had a crisis? A crisis of confidence? Have you ever had a circumstance in your life where one minute you were feeling fairly secure, fairly confident, and then something happened in your world? You got a report or a circumstance took place, or you got some news or whatever it was, and suddenly your hands are clammy. You feel that racy feeling inside your heart. You start having doubts and fears, and your blood runs cold. Have you ever had a day like that? It could come on your wedding day. It could come on your first day of school, on your first day at a new job. It could come when your infant won't stop crying. It could come when you open the envelope with your medical test results in it. Things can change so fast in life. A crisis of confidence. It can come when you get bad news. It can also come when you get good news. The good news is you got the promotion. And then, oh my gosh, how am I gonna be able to handle this new responsibility? The good news is you're pregnant. Oh my goodness. You've been praying for pregnancy, and now suddenly the good news can put you in a crisis of confidence. Or it can be when you haven't heard some news that you really need. You're waiting for news and you haven't heard anything. All those moments of life can come. But the common thread through it all is that you begin to have a thought, and the thought could take on a lot of different structures, but the main idea of it is like this: I don't think I can handle this. That's a crisis of confidence. I don't know if I have what it takes to make it through this circumstance. Let me get real for just a minute, because I've had many times a crisis of confidence. I was thinking just yesterday about a drive that I had from my home up toward the church, toward our building. It was a Sunday morning. And I was weeping. I was so exhausted. I wish I could say I was so full of God that I was crying, but that wasn't it. I was shaken. I was exhausted. I was overwhelmed. I had worked a really long week, maybe 40, 50 hours. And then somewhere toward the last day of the week, I got a terrible phone call. A crisis had broken out on one of our campuses, a city several hours away, where one of the leaders had fallen into sin. It was a terrible thing to happen. I needed to go work with him. I actually needed to remove him and put him into a restoration process, which I'm happy to report some years later he had done very well with, and he's serving the Lord to this day. But at the time, after that long, long week, now I'm faced with the need to drive to this city on weekend traffic, meet with him. It was very emotional, meet with his wife. And then when that was done, there was about five or six key leaders in the church that also needed my support and help. And I went from home to home meeting with each of them, and I finally finished, and the day went well and God was with it, but I finally finished. It was late on a Saturday night driving home, and then early Sunday morning I woke up. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but I wasn't ready for church. And that's scary because I'm the pastor. Just drained, just exhausted, just not sure if I'm up to all of this. I have to be amazing. I got two services, and I have to preach the word of God and walk through everything that a typical Sunday has for me, and I was on empty. It's a crisis of confidence. How many can relate to those moments? You want to do the right thing. You know what you need to do, and you want to do it, but you're not sure you can do it. You're not sure it's going to be okay. When you have one voice inside you that's kind of saying, you can do this, but another louder voice that's saying, run! Get out of there! That's a crisis of confidence. But when you're in the midst of one of those circumstances, I want you to remember the promises of God, because God is faithful, just as we sang this morning. He's never failed us yet. And here are the promises of God. Promises of God say in Proverbs chapter 3, for the Lord will be your confidence. Hallelujah. And he will keep your foot from being caught. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36 says, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance. You know, sometimes in the crisis of confidence, the main thing is hold steady. Don't quit. Don't drop off. You may feel like quitting, but he says, don't throw away your confidence, because a blessing is coming. You have need of endurance so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what he has promised. Hebrews 13 says, and I love this verse, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with what? Confidence, say it with me, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. We can say that with confidence because of his faithfulness. And then, of course, probably the zenith verse of the whole book of Philippians, which is chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul reminds us that he's confident and that we can be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it. Oh, I thought I had to finish it. I thought I was in charge. I thought it was my strength and my power and my good works and my faith and my repentance that gets it done. No, actually, he who began a good work in you, he's going to finish it. You didn't start this. God started it. And he's going to finish it. So being filled with confidence in the promises of God, we have a way to recapture our confidence. And I want to say to you, maybe you're in a crisis of confidence. I pray that you're not. I pray that you've had an amazing week. I pray that your children have been obedient to you. I pray that your boss is in love with all your work and everything that you're doing. I pray that your grades are perfect and your wife is rising up and calling you blessed moment by moment. I pray that your neighbors love you. And even your cat loves you. But if you've had a crisis of confidence, you can get it back. And let me help you with what I said on that Sunday morning when I felt the seams kind of coming apart as I came to church. I remember clearly saying, not today, Satan. Not today. I'm going to be where God has called me to be. I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm going to stand where God has called me to stand. And I don't feel so great, but I'm going to show up because I am here to take back my confidence. Hallelujah. I am here to be filled with the confidence of God. Everyone say, I'm ready to take my confidence back. In this passage, we have some steps to a confidence that works, a life of restored confidence. Let me introduce you this morning to my object lesson. Pastor John is going to bring my object lesson forward. This is my stepladder. Thank you, Pastor John, wise and faithful servant. This is my stepladder. I brought it from home. And I use this when I can't do something. I use this when I have to change a filter in the ceiling of my home, or I have to reach a light bulb, or I have to reach for my tax return. You know, it's tax season. Did you do your taxes yet? I got a box of receipts. And if I can't reach it, if I can't do it, I have a structure. I have some steps that I can take that enable me to get up to the place where I can do it. If I take one step and I can do it, that's good. But if I still can't do it, if I can't change the light bulb or whatever it is, I take another step and I come up a little higher. And if I still can't do it, I'm on my way. I'm getting better, and this is holding me up just fine. Don't worry. Don't worry. I've been practicing. I take that last step, right? And I'm able. This is the point at which I'm able to accomplish what I need to accomplish. I can reach it, I can do it, I can fix it, I can touch it. And I want to use this as an illustration because this is kind of the point at which I can say, I can do it. Everybody say, I can do it. I can do it. Now say this, I can do all things, through Christ who strengthens me. I couldn't do that on my own, but I did it because I had a structure. I did it because I had something going for me that enables me to reach a place that I couldn't reach by myself. And so I want you to think about my ladder because I'm going to give you the three steps that will help you get to a place. And the goal is this top step, because that's the one where, in a way, you can really reach and do anything. This is where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. I want to give you the steps so that you can live with an unshakable confidence and get back lost confidence if that's where you're at today. If you've lost your confidence, remember just this little thought. If you've lost your confidence, climb the ladder of faith and reclaim it. Don't hesitate. Don't say, I can't do it, because there's a structure that will enable you to be able to do it. Climb the ladder of faith and reclaim it. My ladder has three steps, and I find these three steps in this fourth chapter of Philippians. Let's take the first step. Step number one is be joyful. Paul said, always be full of joy in the Lord. And because Paul knows human nature, and he knows what we all just thought when we said that, always be full of joy, I doubt it. Always be full of joy, how can that be real? That sounds fake, that sounds phony. So Paul doubles down, and he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And because he knows who we are, he says, I'm going to say it again. I meant what I said, rejoice. And you read this in any translation, and Paul doubles down on the importance of joy. Joy is that first step. If you lose your joy, you don't have a shot at confidence. So you've got to protect your joy, you've got to watch for your joy, and use your joy. He uses the word joy and rejoice 14 times in this short letter. In fact, this letter, the letter to the Philippians, is one of the most joyful letters in all of Scripture. How could Paul be so joyful and so positive? Remember what we've been learning. He wasn't joyful in his circumstances. He wasn't happy that he was in prison. He wasn't happy that he was separated from people. He's not saying be happy with your circumstances. Be happy that God is with you in your circumstances. Be happy and be joyful for who God is. I walk with people through the worst moments of their life. It's a privilege to talk with people and pray with people when they're at their lowest, like when their daughter or son dies, or when they lose their job, or they read the note, the Dear John note that's on the dresser from their wife or their husband. And those moments come, and you can't be happy in that kind of a circumstance, in the circumstance itself. But here's what you can be happy in. Here's what you can be joyful in, that God is with you in that moment. Lord, today I got news that my child passed away, and I can't be joyful in that, but I can be joyful that you will never leave me or forsake me. Lord, today I got the test of my medical results, and I'm not happy to read these results, but I'm happy that you are my healer and that you'll never leave me and that you'll never forsake me. Paul says there's a place called joy, and you've got to find it. It's not the circumstance that you're in, it's the position that you're in Christ that gives you joy. I don't know if you guys have seen this lady on Netflix or YouTube or the different places that she's showing up. Her name is Marie Kondo. Have you seen her? She's a tidying expert. Some of us need help from a tidying expert. What she does is she comes and the show is, or the book is about getting rid of the things that you don't need in your life so you can simplify and stop hoarding and, you know, clean out that closet, clean out the garage. And, you know, invariably it involves a lot of throwing things away, parting with things that you don't need anymore. And which people struggle with and they have a hard time with because it's like, I might need that sweater. I might need that book. But you haven't read it or used it in 20 years, but you might need it, right? So you don't want to throw it away. And so how many can relate to that, right? So you end up with too many things and too many, you know, now paying $300 a month to store all the things that you might need someday in a storage locker, right? So her test goes like this. Her test is whether you should keep it or throw it away. The test is this. She calls it the spark of joy. She says you hold that item in your hand, and if it doesn't produce a wow, like, wow, this is, I just love this. It's got to produce a spark of joy, and if it doesn't, you got to throw it away. It's a pretty good test. And I was thinking about that because what Paul is actually saying is there are so many things in life that will drain you of joy. They'll take away your joy. It could be a mindset. It could be a relationship. It could be a habit. It could be an addiction. He said, if it's not bringing a spark of joy, get rid of it. Get it out of your life until the only thing that is left is joy. This is how you come to a place of joy. Sometimes joy is not something that you grab or get. Sometimes joy is what's left when you get rid of all the stuff that you don't need anymore. And you're only left with the things that actually bring you joy. This is important because joy is the wellspring of unshakable confidence. Joy is the source of a confidence in life that says to you, you can do all things through Christ. One of the things that undermines joy faster than anything else in our life is fussing and fighting with other people. So Paul goes there. He actually goes there in this passage in chapter 4, verse 5, where he talks about conflict. He says in chapter 4, verse 5, let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, your unselfishness, your mercy, your tolerance, your patience be known to all people. So he's setting us up here now for a way of relating to each other. And then he hits us right between the eyes with the story of Euodia and Syntyche. And he says, he calls out in this letter two women who were in the church at Philippi who had a very public disagreement. They were fussing and fighting with each other. And everybody knew about it, and it was draining the joy out of the church. He says, you know, be gentle, be patient with each other. The Lord is coming soon. And he says, now I want to appeal to these two characters that are at each other, fighting, struggling, and striving, Euodia and Syntyche. I had a theology professor in Bible school who nicknamed them Euodius and Soon Touchy. Does anybody know someone who's odious? Euodius and Soon Touchy. And because their fight, their catfight, their struggle with each other was draining everyone of joy. You know that attitude that I'm ready to fight, I'm ready to take you on, is such a joy drainer. It's actually not a sign of strength for us to be fighting with each other. It's a sign that we're scared, actually, because a scared dog barks. Only an animal that's filled with fear is ready to fight. And God is saying, look, if you're filled with joy, you're going to be happy. You're not going to be fighting with anybody. You're going to make your way forward in the kingdom of God without struggling against other people. It's so important. And here's one thing I'll just say about this first step. The first step is joy. And one of the main things that drains our joy is when we're fighting with our spouse, fighting with our neighbor, fighting with our friend, fighting the fight in our mind with all the struggles and challenges. Here's something that I want to give you a little piece of advice I think will work well for your marriage. Let go of your right to be right. Let go of the thing inside you that says, I have to be proven right every time. I have to win this argument in order to feel okay. Paul says, just rejoice, be glad, and don't spend your time fighting with other people. There are enough fights that you have to fight. There are spiritual battles and battles for justice and battles for truth and all that without starting to turn on one another. Don't let that drain your joy. Let go of your right to be right and keep holding on to your joy. The choice is up to you. The second step, first step is be joyful. The second step is be prayerful. We come now to a very famous verse in this fourth chapter, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Can we read this out loud? In every situation, by prayer and petition, keep going, with thanksgiving, present your requests. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. A very famous passage. In fact, I was reading the other day, if you have a Kindle reader, electronic reader, where you can underline, Amazon can actually track which verses are being underlined, which passages are being underlined. They can compile that as data. This is the most underlined verse in electronic readers anywhere in the world. And the reason people love this verse is because prayer is so powerful, and the effect of prayer, the peace that comes to you, the confidence that comes back to you when you pray about it. Have you prayed about it? You've complained about it. You've worried about it. You've fretted about it. Have you prayed about it? And I don't mean just a quick prayer. I mean, have you really prayed through? Have you really given that to God? There are so many things that bring uncertainty to us, so many things that undermine our confidence in life. We all struggle with it. It's a battle for every one of us. Nothing in life is perfect. Nothing in life is definite. Nothing in life is guaranteed. And so if you put your trust in your circumstances and what's going on, even when life is good, if you put your trust in that, it's so easy to lose that. So you've got to build your confidence in something else. The only thing that you can really build your confidence on, the only thing that you can really build your peace on, is your relationship with Jesus Christ. He is faithful, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. So when you're in a crisis of confidence, you get the bad news, or you get that cold, clammy feeling, and your heart is racing, and whatever, you've got to make it. That is your prayer list right there. Whatever that thing is, you take that to God and stay in a place of prayer until the peace actually returns into your life. God will give you peace. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 32 that says, righteousness will bring you peace. Let me just say this, because one of the big anxieties that people have where they struggle the most is, am I okay with God? Am I right with God? Am I going to be okay? Is God for me? This is what the Bible says. Righteousness will give you peace. Now, whose righteousness will give you peace? Your righteousness? No way. Because your righteousness, if it's like mine, it's going to kind of come and go depending on the day and the moment. There's a righteousness that comes. The New Testament teaches us, for we are the righteousness of God in Christ. And that we receive this gift of righteousness, the righteousness which comes through faith in Jesus. Abraham believed God and was declared righteous. So it's our faith, not in ourselves or in our own behavior, it's our faith in Jesus that actually settles us down where we're able to trust, even when we fail, we know that he will not fail and that we have right standing with God. Today, before the service ends, if you're not sure that you're in right standing with God, you can have that. It's so easy to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. And we're not saved by our own great works. We're saved by trusting in Christ alone completely for our righteousness. But there are other concerns that hit us that we might want to pray about. And that is circumstances that come. I have a friend who's a worship leader. I want you just to let this settle in on you. He's a worship leader for the past 35 years, and he has brain cancer. Just let that. The reason that sounds kind of, well, the reason I want that to settle in on you is because a lot of us have what I would call maybe a justice or a false justice worldview, which goes something like this. If I do the right things, nothing bad will ever happen to me. If you trust in that, just that, you're going to have a crisis of confidence. Because bad things do happen to really great people. How many can say amen to that? And it's hard to understand. And so we say, Lord, I've spent my life serving you. Why? Why haven't you answered this prayer? Lord, why? But the world doesn't work according to our series of levers and pulleys and our merit system and what we do. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust alike. So the last thing we want to do is say to a worship leader who spent his life living for God, well, you probably have sin in your life. You certainly must have sin in your life. That's why you have brain cancer, right? It's a false, false worldview. The truth is sometimes you're doing exactly what you need to do and you still wind up needing the Lord. So how does my friend get through this? Well, he's got a couple of things he says. One thing he says is, I've learned to make peace with the inevitable. In other words, he stops struggling as if, you know, it's really hard when you have brain cancer to say, I don't have brain cancer. You deal with it, right? But the other thing he says is, I live in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And I love that. I pray about it. I cast my cares on the Lord, and I keep myself in the peace of God. See, here's the deal. Unshakable confidence comes to us when we pray through to peace. And again, I'm not saying pray about it for 10 seconds. I'm saying you pray on it and you stay in your place of prayer until either the circumstance changes or until you break through to confidence and peace. Because prayer will get you there. You can have happiness and joy even in unhappy and unjoyful circumstances if you learn to pray through. So reclaim your confidence. Step one is be joyful. Step two is be prayerful. And here's the third step. Don't leave this one out, because this is the one where Paul says, I've got just one more thing to add, he says. And that's be mindful. Philippians 4:8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. I could stop the message right there. That'd be a great sermon title, wouldn't it? Fix your thoughts. Because your thoughts are so powerful. He says this. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, and think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I'm here to tell you today that your thoughts are your choice. Our thoughts are our choice. A thought doesn't just happen. A thought is something we agree with. It's something that we step into. So our thoughts, write this down in your notes, our thoughts are our choice. They don't just happen. We create our thoughts, and therefore we are able to direct our thoughts. We do have control over where we allow our mind, where we permit our mind to go. When something upsetting happens, your thoughts are either going to magnify the problem or your thoughts are going to size them down. Paul says, be intentional about your thought life, especially in a crisis of confidence. If you're in a crisis of confidence today, be very careful about what you're exposing your mind to. Be very careful about who you listen to, who you allow to speak into your life. Be very careful about where you allow your mind to go, Because I promise you, if you let your mind run wild, if you let your thoughts run wild, it will take you somewhere that you don't want to go. You will undermine your own confidence. Think of your mind or your soul as an unruly three-year-old. That thing will go in a lot of different directions all at once. You got to take it. You got to learn how to take your mind by the hand and say, no, we're not doing that right now. Here we go. We're going to the house of God. We're going to do what God has called us to do. We can do all things through Christ. And you just start walking your mind back to what is good and pure and right. And suddenly, the crisis is shrinking and your confidence is being restored. Thoughts are so powerful. And the Holy Spirit, He will help us with our thoughts. This is what Paul is saying. He's in jail. But he's saying, here's how I got to this place. I got to the place where I could say, I can do all things through Christ. I got to that by guarding my thoughts and making sure I wasn't allowing my mind. It's called top step thinking. The good, the pure. Oh, but I want to tell you about this. It's okay. I don't need to hear it. I'm focused on the good and the pure. You don't have to be afraid of problems because every problem has a solution, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You believe this? Yes. Let me close with a story. My son, Pastor Jordan, they're all at the My City conference today where the kids are, I think they're on their way back by now. But some years ago, Jordan is 31. He was just 16, and he just had his license. He might have been 17. But he was going to take a friend. It was a date. They weren't, you know, like hot and heavy, but I think it was a date because she was a girl, a nice-looking girl. And he took his mother's car with permission and took this girl for a drive. They were going to go get coffee or whatever it was. Her dad is the biggest guy I've ever met in my life. He's like, I don't know, 6'9", probably 400 pounds. He's built like the Hulk. No joke. The guy could be like a WWE wrestler or something like that. That's how he's built, and that's how he sounds, and that's how he talks. So first level of intimidation was when Jordan went to pick her up, Dad had a little talk with Jordan. And so he got through that, and then he got in the car, and it was the first rain of the season. And so the roads were, you know how they're kind of dangerous in that first. He took a corner. He was on a road that goes alongside a creek down in the south part of the valley. He took a ride, and he took a corner too hard, and the back end of the car fishtailed out, and he started spinning, and he lost control of the car, and he crashed the car into these big boulders that were placed there on this corner, probably because other people had done the same thing. And had those boulders not been there, he would have gone off the edge into the creek, but he slammed into these gigantic boulders the size of that drum set. And the car came to a stop. It freaked him out. She was okay. He was okay. But then he thought, I have to get her back to her dad. And that was a level of panic. But then on top of that also was the, have you ever been in a car wreck? That you get kind of freaked out. It's very shocking. And he looked at that creek and where they could have gone. And he was trembling, and he called, and we worked our way through it, and he paid back the deductible. And I taught him that life has consequences. And he faced the dad too, and everything's fine. And Jordan's still alive, and he's in the ministry today. So that's good. But the interesting thing was, in that moment, as a driver, he lost his confidence. He was struggling from that time on to get back behind the wheel of the car. He was like a panic would hit him. He had lost his confidence. And I said, son, you'll be okay. It's all right. Just, you know, stay with it. And a few days passed, and he still was like, Dad, I can't, I'm freaked out every time I get behind the wheel. I said, okay, let's take a drive. So we got in the one remaining car that still worked. And we drove to that spot where the accident had happened. I'll tell you, I can remember taking Jordan's hand right there on that spot. And I said, son, we're going to pray. We're going to lift our hands to God. We're going to thank the Lord. And you're going to get your confidence back. And we lifted our hands, father and son, just prayed and thanked God for the angels that are always with us, thanked God for his protection. And we just, and the tears began to pour. And Jordan got his confidence back, and he was able to drive us both home from that scene. What am I saying? I'm saying there are times when you have to stop what you're doing and realize, hey, I've lost my confidence, but I'm going to tell the devil, wait a minute, I'm here to get my confidence back. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to stand in the very place where I was defeated and take it back. And I'm not sure what's going on in your life today, but this much I know. If you've lost your confidence, you can take it back, and you will come to the place. If you climb my ladder, if you stand on the structure that God has provided for you, if you will allow yourself to become joyful, prayerful, and mindful, God will bring you to a place in your life where you will be able to say with Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you stand with me? I want us to just do something here. I don't want to single people out today. I don't feel that's what I'm going to do. But I want us all to be able to say together, I can do all things through Christ. Would you just lift your hands as Jordan and I did? And maybe for some of you, today's a crisis day. Maybe for some of you, the crisis day is 2 weeks from today and you don't know it yet. But I want you just to lift your hands and just say with me, I can do all things through Christ. Come on, say it like you mean it. I can do all things through Christ. Now, Lord, I bless your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we're here to get our confidence back. I pray you fill us with joy and with prayer, and that our minds would be fixed, Lord, upon your faithfulness and your goodness. I pray that as we worship you in these moments, that the power of the Holy Spirit will restore our hearts and our minds. Through Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Just put your hands down and remain standing for one moment longer. If you're here today and you don't have a confidence of your salvation, you can have confidence, not in yourself, but you can have confidence in what Christ has done for you. It's a free gift. I want to pray for you. If that's you and you need Jesus and you're ready to open your heart to him and say, Lord, take over my life. I need you. I can't do this. I can't handle this without you. If that's where you're at, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you just lift your hand? Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm here and I need Jesus. I see your hand. Don't be afraid. Lift it up. Thank you, sir. Put it up right now. Jesus' name. Thank you. Three. Is there someone else to my left? Thank you. A fourth hand. Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. I see you in the back also. Lord, I pray for these five people, and there are others, I'm sure, watching online. In the cafe, Lord, wherever are my voices being heard right now, let the confidence and the assurance of salvation be rock steady in every one of us. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit to live right. And when we don't live right, we'll still be confident in your amazing grace, Lord, your goodness. Wash away our sins, I pray, and fill us with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Be seated. Let's worship the Lord. The ushers are going to serve you. I want you to sing this beautiful song together with our worship team.
Thank you, Jesus. I feel so strongly that as you open up your heart and respond to this word, God is going to help you. He's going to pull you up, take you step by step. So Lord, we respond.
And Lord, we praise you. Thank you for restored confidence. If you were one that raised your hand today, or maybe online, or you didn't raise your hand, but you're making a decision for Christ, you heard about a card earlier in the service. One side says, I've decided. The other side of the card says, I'm new here. I would love to get that card from you if you're new in the church, or if you've just made a decision for Christ today. We have a team in the lobby at the counter, and they would love to receive that card from you. And as you give them that card, they have a gift that they want to give to you. So please take a moment, fill that card out, let us know who you are and what you've decided today. My friends are here. If you need prayer, the service is going to close as I speak a blessing over you. But if you need to stay for a few minutes and check in with someone, talk to someone of our prayer counselors, they're here to bless you and pray for you. I'm so glad we could be together today, and I love each and every one of you. Let me bless you as you go, because this week is a week where you're going to be able to say, I can do all things through Christ. Father, let great confidence rest on every person, no matter our challenge, no matter our circumstance. We trust in you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us great boldness and confidence in Christ. Let that rest upon us, and let it never fade, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. I love you guys. God bless you. You are dismissed. Come again. Look forward to seeing you. I'm looking forward to that breakfast this Saturday with our life group leaders. Oh, that's going to be awesome. Sign up for that if you're a life group leader or you want to be.